It's great to have a witness in a court of law, but it is vital to have a credible witness. Are you a credible witness for the Lord? Are you a witness for the Lord that can be believed? Are you a credible witness for the Lord that can be someone can take confidence in what you're saying about the Lord? Is your testimony for the Lord worthy of people's confidence? Is your testimony for the Lord capable of being believed? It's great if you want to witness for the Lord. And we've looked at the importance of soul winning. It's great if you want to be a witness to the Lord. But are you a credible witness? Does your life in Christ back up what you say about Christ? It's important because the Lord desires credible witnesses. Isaiah 43:8 through 13 brings us into a court scene and shows us the importance of being a credible, believable witness. In verse 8, we have a summons to a court that is held by the Lord. Look at the summons in verse 8. The Lord says this, "Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears." Have you ever been summoned to court? I've been summoned to court on 3 different occasions. Each time, I received a letter from the office, from a lawyer, or perhaps from the court itself, inviting me to a particular event, a particular trial or court event. It was a summons. Did I have a choice in going? Well, sure, I had a choice. But if I didn't go, I'd be in big trouble. But here we have the Lord issuing a summons into His own court. Look what He says. "Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears." The Lord here is calling and summoning all the nations into His court. We see who these are in verse 9. He says, "Let all the nations be gathered." Verse 8, He's summoning them. And then in verse 9, we actually see the court in session. These people, these nations, these who are blind that have eyes and deaf that have ears, are the people that do not know Him, believe in Him, or even submit to Him. Earlier in chapter 42, it talked about blind. It talked about people who had eyes that were blind. It talked about people that at one time were blind, referring to His people, but now had eyes to see. Here, He's talking about people that are blind, even though they have eyes. He's talking about people that are blinded spiritually, even though they have physical eyes to see. The Lord says that these are the blind and deaf, even though they have eyes and ears. Their God-given eyes and ears are useless because they have not been used to see or listen the things of the Lord. Much like children. You know, when they listen to their parents, things go in one ear and out the other, and it never stops in the important place in between, does it? That's the way people are in this world. That's what the way these nations are that despise the Lord, that reject the Lord, that ignore the Lord. They have eyes that God has given them to see. They have ears that God has given them to hear, and yet they don't use them for the purpose that God intended, which is to see Him and what He has for them and to listen to what He has through His Word, and they ignore it. There's a good lesson in this verse. Don't be a blind person with eyes. Don't be a deaf person with ears. Don't let the eyes and ears that God gave you be used in a useless way. In other words, we need to listen to what God has to say. And my prayer for you this evening is that you are listening what it takes to be a credible witness tonight. Because God is wanting witnesses. God is wanting and desiring you and us as a church to go out and share the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. But being a witness is one thing, but being a credible witness is another. God desires you and me to be a credible witness, someone who truly believes and is convinced about what we have through the gospel and will then share with others. In verse 9, after the Lord gives this summons in verse 8, we have the gathering of the court held by the Lord. The Lord says, "Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled." And then He asks these questions. "Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified by themselves. Or let them hear and say it is truth." While the Lord is gathering all these nations in verse 9, He is doing so in order to prove once and for all that He is the one true God. The gods that these other people served and believed in are nothing. And God is going to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt, that He is the one true God and that there is none other. So now, here in this courtroom, it is all the nations of the world, every single person who is not a genuine believer, versus the one true God. Who do you think is going to win? Even when all the nations of the world are united together in order to defeat the Lord, they think they'll have Him licked. They'll think they'll be able to defeat Him. But, as we will see, they will still fail in their cause. They can do nothing. They can hold nothing against the Lord. Even though every individual who has ever set foot on this earth would come against the Lord, if it's the entire world versus God, God will win every time. So what does the Lord ask? He asks these people that are gathered together, all the nations who are blind and deaf, all the nations who have rejected Him, He asks them, who among them, who among you can declare this? He here is referring to the future events like this gathering of the nations before Him. He's asking, which of you could have ever predicted that I would call all of you together in this summons? Of course, we know that no one can predict that. No individual, no human, no sinner would be able to predict the future unless the Lord was inspiring them and giving them that knowledge. No one can do that. So what makes them think that they are able to take on God, the one true God? No one can declare this. In fact, they are only here in this court setting because they have to be. God called them, God gathered them, they're there. They don't have a choice to be there, and they're not going to like the results of being there. But what else did the Lord ask? He said, who among them can declare this, referring to future events, but also, who among them can show us former things, referring to past events, like creation? He's asking them, what can you do to prove to me how you came to be? Even though they try, even though they may have convinced themselves, no one really can show the former things. You know, people do try, and this is a good example of the teaching of evolution. In schools today, in the courts, in the land, it seems like evolution is just the way things are. Even if they try to bring in an intelligent designer. No, that's too much like God. But you can come from monkeys. You can come from a little amoeba. You can come from a big bang that created this entire universe. And the Lord says to these people who believe in evolution, you show me the former things. Well, they come up with this theory, but can they really prove it? Can they really show it? Absolutely not. No one can. Then the Lord demands this. He says, after asking these questions, who among you can declare it? Who among you can show us former things? He says, let them bring forth their witnesses. In other words, prove to me that you know what's going to happen in the future. Prove to me that you know what happened in the past. But they have no credible witnesses. They have no original eyewitnesses. They don't have anybody that can come up with the original testimony because they were never there. They cannot justify themselves because they have no knowledge of what happened. They have no original eyewitness testimony. The Lord says, let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. They can't. They can't justify themselves because they have no idea what's going on. But then they also have no confirming testimony. When they hear testimony, which the Lord tells them to do, He says, and let them hear and say it is truth. Can they do that? Can they confirm the testimony of someone else if they weren't there? What if I were to come up to you and ask you, what did you do today? You would be able to tell me because you're an eyewitness of that event. You know exactly what you did. And you would tell me and I would believe you because that was your life. Now if I were to come up to you and say, now I would like you to tell me what so-and-so in the other pew did today. And let's say you guess. Well, I think they went out to eat a Cracker Barrel today and then they went home and took a nap. That may not be too far off. But if I go to that other person and say, is that what you did? They say no. Are you a credible witness? No. The Lord is saying that all these people, all the people in this world who deny Him, who think they know what's going on in this world, they think they know the past, they think they know the future. God says, okay, now produce to me your witnesses to prove these things. And they can't produce one single eyewitness. And they cannot produce any confirming testimony to say this is the truth. God says, your witnesses are not credible. Now you need to listen to me. Here in verse 10, in the court of all the nations, the Lord now turns directly to His people and says an astounding statement. He says this, ye are my witnesses. He's talking about and talking to you and to me. He's talking to His people. Ye are my witnesses. The rest of the world try to bring out their witnesses and they cannot find any. I'm going to bring forth my witnesses to prove who I am to this world. And you know what? You are my witnesses. What an amazing statement. Does the world, or does the Lord really need witnesses? Does the Lord really need them? I can't imagine that the Lord would really need us as witnesses, and yet He calls us His witnesses. This phrase, this statement, ye are my witnesses, is a statement that is only found in Isaiah. And it's a wonderful word. It's a wonderful phrase. It's a wonderful statement for us to think about and ponder. Because God who doesn't need any witnesses has chosen you to be His witness. What an honorable place and position to be in. The Lord really has chosen you and me as His people to be His witnesses. And since you and I are His witnesses, not just any kind of witness will do. In fact, the Lord wants you to be a credible witness for Him. And tonight, as we look in this passage, we're going to look at what it means and what it takes to be a credible witness for the Lord. Not just any witness will do. You and I need to be credible, trustworthy, believable witnesses for the Lord. After all, doesn't He deserve that? He didn't have to make us His witnesses, but He chose us. He wants us to be His witnesses, and He desires us to be credible, believable to the rest of the world. First, let's look at how you became the Lord's witness. How did you become the Lord's witness? Was it something that you did, or was it something that God called you to do? Look at verse 10. He says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. How did you become the Lord's witness? He chose you to be His witness. You didn't choose to be His witness yourself. He chose you to be His witness. He also chose you, as it says here, to serve Him as His witness. This verse explains that witnessing for the Lord is how you serve the Lord. Do you want to serve the Lord? You need to witness for Him. And in order to witness for Him, you need to be a credible witness to Him. As I mentioned, I was called to be a witness to serve and help with my testimony in three different occasions. When someone is called into a court, there's a reason for it. They want them to help out either the prosecution or the defense. There's a reason for that. They want you to serve this person. So it is when God calls you and chooses you to be His witness. It's so that you can serve Him in this way. What a tremendous honor to be chosen as the Lord's witness. You are not chosen because of what you've seen and heard. Because if it was just what you've seen and heard, your witness wouldn't be any different than anybody else. No, the reason why you are His witness is because He chose to reveal to you what He wants you to witness to the world. You are chosen because of what He has revealed to you. You could never be a witness of something you know nothing about. And that's what it means to be a credible witness. You've got to have some knowledge about what you're witnessing about. You can only be a witness for the Lord if the Lord chose to reveal Himself to you. Do you have something to share to the world about the Lord? If you do, it's because the Lord has given that to you to share. How has the Lord revealed Himself to you? Through His Word, of course, and through His works. The Lord chose you to be a credible witness for Him. The Lord chose to reveal Himself to you. The Lord chose you to reveal Him to others. Do you recognize what an honor that really is? What a tremendous honor to realize I am God's witness. God chose me. Over anybody else in this world, God chose me to be His witness. God chose me to serve Him as His witness. God chose me to reveal Himself to the world through. That's why not just any kind of witness will do. It's not just going out, handing out a tract. It's having a life that backs up what you're going to say about the Lord. It's having a conviction in your heart that what you say about the Lord is true. That is the type of witness that the Lord is looking for. He's looking for credible witnesses. Credible witnesses are people that can be believed. People that are worthy to be understood. People that the world can look to and say, that man, that woman, really knows what they're talking about. It means being prepared to share the gospel. It means knowing what you're going to say, knowing the Word of God, knowing your God, so that you can share Him with others. That is what it means. Number two, I'd like to look at why did you become the Lord's witness? Why did you become the Lord's witness? We see this in the second part of verse 10 when the Lord says, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. The Lord has His reasons for choosing you as His witness. And the reason given in verse 10 appears at first to be pretty surprising. He doesn't say in verse 10 that you are my witness in order to save everyone in the world. He doesn't say you are my witness to go out and to share with your neighbors and your loved ones about the Lord primarily and first. Though that is what witnessing is and does. But what does the Lord say? The purpose and the reason for you being chosen as His witness. He says, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. He chose you to be His witness for your benefit, primarily, first and foremost. So that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. He chose you to be His witness, not primarily for the sake and benefit of others, but primarily for the sake and benefit of you and Him and the relationship that the two of you have. Usually a defense lawyer will call a witness to get his client off the hook. God calls you to be His witness to get you off the hook. So that you can be convinced in your own heart that you are saved by the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful to know? God has called you to be a witness and to serve as a witness so that you can know and believe and understand that He is God. The Lord chose you to be a credible witness for Him. He chose you to be a witness so that you could know and believe and understand Him more and more. Why is it important to be a credible witness? Why is it important that for you to know and believe and understand Him before you go out and share with the rest of the world what you know, understand, and believe about Him? Because you'll never be able to convince others if you are not convinced of the Lord yourself. If you really don't believe the Lord, if you really don't know the Lord, if you really don't understand the Lord and who He is and what He's done, will you ever really be able to go out and be the credible witness that God wants you to be? Remember the story of Chicken Little? Chicken Little was convinced the sky was falling when an acorn fell on his head. He was convinced, even though it wasn't true. Hey, he felt the acorn falling on his head. Sky was falling. He went around throughout the farm and he convinced Henny Penny, Ducky Lucky, Goosey Lucy, Turkey Lurkey, because she saw it with her own eyes. She heard it with her own ears, and part of it fell on her head. She convinced them because she believed and was convinced in her heart that it was true. You will only be a credible witness when you know the Lord that you're witnessing about. You will only be a credible witness and an effective witness if you truly know the Lord. And that is why God called you as His witness. He says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know. And so that you may believe. God has called you and chosen you to be His witness so that you would believe with your heart who He is and what He's done. God has chosen you to be His witness and His servant so that you will understand that He is who He says He is. When you see Him with your own eyes, when you hear Him with your own ears, then you will be a credible witness that God can use in an effective way. But first and foremost, it's got to happen in your heart. In order to be a credible witness, it's got to start there. It's got to start in your heart. It's got to start in your belief. It's got to start in your understanding of who God is and what He's done for you. Third, what does it mean to be the Lord's witness? What does it mean to be the Lord's witness? Look at verse 12, the second phrase, or the last part of that verse, where the Lord says, Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. This is what our witness is to be about. He says, you are my witnesses that I am God. This is what our witness is about. This is what the Lord wants you to be a witness of. And this is what the Lord wants you to be convinced of in your heart. The Lord wants you to know and believe and understand four different things that we see in these verses. The Lord wants you to know and believe and understand that He alone is the eternal God. Look at verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. But then he also says this in the last part of verse 10. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. The Lord wants you as His child to know, to believe, and understand that He alone is the eternal God. There was no God formed before Him, and there will be no God formed after Him. Colossians 1:17 applies this to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when it says, referring to Christ, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You see, the Lord is the only eternal God. There is no other God. And that is what we need to be convinced of in order to be witnesses of that fact. Can you really be a credible witness if you are not convinced that He alone is the eternal God? Can you really be a credible witness if you believe that there are other gods out there? Unfortunately, there are a lot of believers today that are not convinced in their own heart that God alone is the eternal one, that He is the only God in existence. Rather, they think, well, this is, as we mentioned this morning, the heritage that I've received, but what about the heritage that Muslims have received? Or what about the religious heritage that Hindus have received? What about the religious heritage that Buddhists have received? Isn't that right for them, and this is right for me? And so as long as they are convinced in their own heart and sincere about it, and I'm convinced in my own heart and sincere about it, won't we all eventually get to heaven in the same way, even though it's through a different God? Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who call themselves to be Christians that are not credible witnesses because they believe and they state that, yes, there are other gods out there. It really, really bothers me as I'm listening to the talk radio or even some news on television, and there's a commentator or someone who's a host of a program, and they say, I'm a Christian, but that is my belief, and I'm going to go ahead and say, okay, well, this person is going to believe their way, and you know, well, as long as they're doing that, and as long as they're good, and we're all going to get to heaven eventually, and it just churns my stomach because that person who claims to be a Christian is not being a credible witness because they do not really believe that He alone is the eternal God. And yet God says distinctly and very clearly in verse 10, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. If you want to be a credible witness for the Lord, you need to be convinced in your heart that He alone is the eternal God. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and there is no one else in this world. Even though they may claim to be God, there is no other God. Do you really believe that? If you want to be a credible witness and an effective witness, you must believe that. You cannot be wishy-washy about the gospel. You cannot be wishy-washy about the fact that there is only one true God. Because the moment that you do, the moment that you give up that ground, you've lost your credibility as God's witness. What a tragedy. God has chosen you to be a witness. What a tremendous place of honor for us to be. And if we choose what we're going to tell the world about God, what a tragedy that is. A second thing that the Lord wants you as His witness to know and to believe and to understand is found in verse 12. The Lord wants you to know and believe and understand that He alone is the exclusive Savior in verse 11. He alone is the exclusive Savior. Look at verse 11. He says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There is no other Savior except Jesus Christ and except God, Jehovah. Acts 4:12 applies this to Jesus Christ, our Savior. He says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, only Jesus Christ." Remember the children's song, "One Way to Heaven"? One way, God said, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. One way. No other way. No other way. No other way to go. But one way. That's through Jesus Christ. He alone is the exclusive Savior. Can you be a credible witness for the Lord if you are not convinced yourself that He alone is the exclusive Savior? I was watching one of those news shows on television. And perhaps some of you are familiar with the columnist Cal Thomas, who is a credible witness of the gospel. He is a wonderful man. He's a great columnist because he tells it like it is. I remember he was talking with some other columnists about Christianity. And I don't remember the exact circumstance, but I think it was talking about some of the statements that Pat Robertson had said. Not recently, but in the past, about God's judgments upon the area in Pennsylvania that turned down using the intelligent design theory in their schools. And they were talking about it. And one lady who had her facts messed up about Jesus Christ, she said, "Well, Jesus Christ would have never said anything like that. He was very inclusive and very tolerant of everybody. He was so very loving." And Cal Thomas said, "You know, I've got one thing to say about that, and that is, the Lord said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.' I can think of no other more exclusive statement than that." Jesus Christ was exclusive, he said. He is the exclusive Savior. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. You, if you were to be a credible witness for Jesus Christ, an incredible witness for the God who has called you to this position, you need to be convinced in your own heart that there is no other way, that He is the exclusive Savior. Do you really believe that? Is that a conviction in your heart? Or if someone says that they're going to try to live their life as best they can, and they're just going to see how things go, you say, "Well, they have their way and I have my way, and I'm not going to intrude. I'm not going to bother them with my beliefs." Are you really a credible witness for the Lord who called you to be this witness for Him? God desires you to be not just a witness, not just any old witness who just says, "I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm a Baptist. I go to church." He wants you to be a credible witness that believes the fundamentals of the faith. And this fundamental thing is that there is an exclusive Savior, and there is no one else that you can go to or through to be saved other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be convinced of this if you want to be a credible witness for the Lord. But you can know it. You can believe that He is an exclusive Savior. You can understand, because if you're a believer, God has chosen you to be this kind of witness. Third, the Lord also wants you to know and believe and understand that He alone is the self-revealing Lord. He alone is the self-revealing Lord. Look at verse 12. The Lord says, "I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." You see, the Lord alone reveals Himself to the world. He does this, of course, through His Word, through Jesus Christ, through His works and acts in this world. But He alone reveals Himself. Has any other God done this? Of course, since there is no other God, can any other God do this? Because all other gods are made by man, they are only revealed by man. Since all other gods are made by man, they can only be revealed by man. But God is the only true God and is the only one who can self-reveal Himself, and He has done so, and He chooses to continue to do so through His witnesses. And that is why it is absolutely vital for you to be a credible witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you be a credible witness for the Lord if you are not convinced yourself that He alone is the self-revealing Lord? Do you really believe that the Quran or some of these other religious texts are inspired by their gods? If you do not believe that the Word of God is the only self-revelation from God to man, you are not a credible witness for Him. The Lord also wants you to know and believe and understand that He alone is the all-powerful one. He alone is the all-powerful one. Look at verse 13. The Lord says this, "Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver you out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" Why is He the all-powerful one? It's because He is everlasting. He is unchanging, and He can deliver. No one can hinder Him from carrying out His plan. Can you be a credible witness for the Lord if you are not convinced yourself that He alone is the all-powerful one? Do you believe that there are other forces or other individuals or other gods that are more powerful than the God that's called you to be a witness? If you believe that there is something more powerful than God out there, and a lot of times our life really displays our belief, doesn't it? If we say we believe that God has the power to do this and do that, and yet we live like we've got the power or we need the power from someone else, do we really believe it? Are you a credible witness for the Lord and His power? I wonder, whose side would you have wanted to be on when David met Goliath? Of course, not knowing what we know now, that David cleaned his clock through the power of God, would you have chosen David's side? After all, you've got only a boy named David, right? Little boy. In the song, you put your hand down like a little boy. And then you've got Goliath, the great big giant, 9-10 feet tall, huge man, strong, powerful, a warrior. Whose side would you have chosen to be on if you had the choice? From a human standpoint, I probably would have chosen Goliath. But when you're convinced in your heart that God is the all-powerful one, and you're convinced in your heart that this is God's side, you're going to go over to David's side believing and knowing and understanding that God is going to win and be victorious as He always is. You can know that God is the all-powerful one. You can believe. You can understand it because God has chosen you to be His witness. In fact, you need to know these things. You must know these things. If you want to be a credible witness for the Lord that the Lord can use in an effective way, you must believe Him. You must understand them about Him because the Lord wants you to be a credible witness for Him. The Lord wants you to be a credible witness for Him because it starts in your heart. He wants you to be convinced. He wants you to be convinced in your heart that He is the eternal God, that He is the one who is all-powerful, that He is the one that has self-revealed Himself to you. He is the one that has chose you. He wants you to be convinced so that you can look to Him and Him alone. He doesn't just want you to be a witness telling others about Him. He wants you to believe what you say. He wants you to be a witness that He can count on, that can be believed, that is credible, because you know whom you have believed. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which you committed unto Him against that day. The Lord wants you to be a credible witness for Him. He chose you for this purpose. He revealed Himself to you for this purpose. And you can know and believe and understand Him in order to fulfill His purpose. My question for you tonight is, are you a credible witness for the Lord? Are you convinced in your heart that the Lord alone is the eternal God? That the Lord alone, as we've looked at, is the exclusive Savior? There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Are you convinced in your heart that the Lord alone is the self-revealing Lord? Alone. He's the only one that has done it. Are you convinced in your heart that the Lord alone is the all-powerful one? Do you know and believe and understand in your heart what you say to others with your words about Him? Oh, it's great to have witnesses. It's great to hear testimonies of you sharing the gospel with others. But it is critical to have credible witnesses because that is what God has called us to be. After all, you will never be able to convince others if you yourself have not been convinced. You'll never be able to convince others if you yourself are not convinced that the Lord is these things. We need to be credible witnesses for the Lord. Be credible witnesses. Believe, understand and know the Lord that you're going to tell others about and live what you say about Him. Let's close in prayer. Father, I do ask that You'll help us to understand what it means to be a witness. Lord, we do need to get out and share the gospel. In fact, we don't do it as we should. Yet perhaps it's because we really don't believe those things that we say we believe. Perhaps we really aren't convinced. Perhaps we really don't know and believe and understand these things about the Lord. Perhaps we are not the credible witnesses that You want us to be. Lord, I pray that You'll convict us tonight, that You will turn our witness into a credible witness. That when we go out and share what we know about You, it is something that we know is true and believe with our heart, with all our might. Lord, I pray that tonight we will be credible witnesses, understanding that the reason that You've called us to be a witness, primarily, firstly, is so that we can be convinced ourselves of the truths that we've looked at tonight. And then, when we believe it, we will go out and share it. We will share it in the way that the disciples were. They were credible witnesses, Lord. And I thank You for their tremendous example. They believed. They really were convinced in these truths about You. And because of that, they were turned into the type of witnesses that You could use in an effective way to turn this world upside down. Lord, please help us tonight to be credible witnesses for You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.